living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A number of years ago, when I used to do departmental training on how to use the computer systems and the word processing programs, this was back in the day where only a few of us had a computer at home. But I went to a seminar, actually a couple of them, about how to design and execute training for adults. And in that training, they talked about how people learn differently. And the best design of training is one that allows for each of the different styles of learning. For instance, visual learners prefer to see things written down or in pictures. Handouts, videos, charts, maps, those all really work for them. Auditory learners prefer to listen to lectures, read aloud, and talk about whatever the subject is. And kinesthetic or hands-on learners prefer touching, feeling, and experiencing what they're learning. Now, from that training, I also learned that adult learners can be a great asset in a group because they can draw from their own life experience to enrich the training. On the other hand, that experience, and sometimes the unshakable conviction that they already know how it works, can make those preconceptions difficult to overcome. Now, today's gospel is, of course, the Beatitudes, Matthew's version this year. And as we're discovering in the 915 Forum, Matthew's gospel is all about showing Jesus as a teacher. So as Matthew tells it, after calling Peter and Andrew and James and John and going around Judea preaching and healing people and becoming, in the process, kind of well known, he goes up to the mountain with his disciples, and there's a crowd there too, and he sits down and begins to teach. And the Beatitudes is the beginning of what he teaches. Having demonstrated what this kind of ministry looks like, teaching and preaching and healing and so forth, for the visual learners, now he sits down to talk about it with his disciples, for the auditory type learners. And it'll take us a few Sundays to get through all of the teaching on that mountain. But today we have the Beatitudes, and that word just means blessings. And blessedness, by the way, does not mean be happy, despite a 1985 book title, something to that effect. And just in case there are any really fierce grammarians here, blessed is how it's pronounced as an adjective, adverb, or noun. Blessed, which can be spelled with a T, but usually isn't anymore, that's old-fashioned. That's when it's a verb. Back to the Beatitudes. Although the auditory learners will most appreciate Jesus' method of instruction, there is something here for the visual learners as well. What Jesus is describing is an overview, but an overview with a very different perspective. It's a perspective that goes deeper than the surface. On the face of it, the attitudes are kind of peculiar. They mess with what we know about how the world works. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness? Shouldn't it be blessed are the rich in spirit? And what's he talking about? Those who mourn? And the meek? I mean, let's face it, aren't those kind of losers? And those hungering and thirsty after righteousness? Well, generally, what you're hungering and thirsting after is what happens when righteousness is nowhere to be found. Now, the rest of them are perhaps a bit better, maybe. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Clearly, cynics don't count here. Blessed are the peacemakers. There's a tough job. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Anybody want to sign up for persecution? No, I don't think so. Blessed are you when people revile you or and utter all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. All right, maybe these other Beatitudes aren't as bad as the first few. But Jesus says, in all of these, people are blessed. To quote the movie The Princess Bride, I do not think that word means what you think it means. Blessed. It seems to have less to do with being happy, and certainly far less to do with my own happiness, than it does with how I might be in relation to God and in relation to other people. Like the arc of salvation history through the Old Testament, again and again, God chooses prophets to wake people up, to course correct when they forget why they were given the law in the first place. And they begin to mistake the practices that mark holy people for holiness itself. To remind them, as we hear from Michael this morning, it's not about how large or significant your offering is. If you don't do what's good, if you don't do what's righteous, what's required is that you do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. What that looks like is what Jesus is describing in his teaching. And it's also what Paul's trying to get across to the Corinthians. Blessedness is seen in folks who forgive rather than judge, who console those who mourn rather than pain. It's seen in weakness versus power, and in doing everything in one's own power for those who are disempowered. It's humility versus image, and that word humility has to do with humus, earth, good earth to grow things in. Groundedness, you might say. Blessedness is about character versus about possessions. It's caring about and for the community, including the least and the lost and the marginalized, versus caring only for one's own family and friends. Blessedness is a pretty radical concept for Jesus' disciples, as it is for us. One more thing. It's now. It's an attribute in the present, not in the future, not someday, but right now. Those who are blessed right here and now. And like the good teacher that he is, Jesus goes on to further demonstrate what that looks like up to and including his own death on cross. And not to forget the kinesthetic learners, Jesus has his disciples try it too. He sends them out preaching and healing, and if the tradition is to be believed, this whole process ended up in execution for most of them. Now, this blessed business is really the core of Christian spiritual life. And don't be confused by that word spiritual. We are incarnate beings, your body, mind, and spirit in one. Attempting to somehow split off spirit as if body and mind don't matter is just not Christian. Efforts to interpret the Gospels that way were quashed rather firmly quite early in the church's history. Just as God became flesh in Jesus, so we, the whole of us, body, mind, and spirit,